Welcome everybody to today's coaching call. We're going to be going over the topic of raising capital for your business. So you can take the tips that we're talking about here today and apply it to pretty much any type of business, you know, whether it be online or offline. But I'll customize some of these steps here into your online business as well. And we'll open it up to discussion even during the call. If you have any questions, just let me know. So welcome on board to the call, and we'll get started here. So if you have any questions specifically with some of the lending and so forth, then there's going to be some websites I'll share with you that you can check out, and the notes will be on the blog, and like I said, the call is also recorded, so you can refer to it a bit later too. Okay. So yeah, a while back ago, this is back in 2006, 2007 is when I started to learn how to raise capital. And one of the businesses that one of the clients that we were working with back then, they had a primary goal of raising $457,000 for their business. And we were working with them, and they hired us to go out there and do it for them. And one of the methods that we're gonna I'll share with you here today is the same steps that I took to go about doing it. There's really a lot of methods of going about raising capital. I mean, there's we'll be going over about 12 of them here today, and giving you an overview of those sources that you can check out and methods that you can implement. But by no means though will we have obviously enough time to go in depth on every single one of them. So I'll be able to I'd probably put you all to sleep if we went over all the details. We'd be here over the weekend, but we'll go over a great overview and teach you some of the top sources you can check out and the steps to take to go about securing the funds that you're looking for, whether that be with raising money to buy a bunch of product in bulk for your wholesale business, or getting enough funds to pay staff or get furniture, office supplies. I mean, the whole list can go on and on of all the things and the purposes that you might want the funds for. But we'll also discuss some of the strategies you can take, the people you can speak with to make the whole process go smoother for you. And we'll start off with some of the easier ways of raising capital and going up to the more challenging methods that take a bit more wherewithal and a bit more effort, okay? So first step, though, if you're looking at raising capital, you got to have, if you're not doing it for someone else, you look at the vision. It all starts off with the plan of what exactly of value do you have? What kind of goals do you have that you're going after? And so basically the purpose, okay? What's the purpose of wanting the funds? And one of the rules that you'll hear quite a bit, especially as you go there and learn more about capital raising, is if you need it, you don't get it. If you want it, then you'll usually get it. If you don't come across needy or desperate, then you'll usually end up getting it, as long as you have a good plan and things go smoothly with your credit if you're going that route too. You don't always have to have credit, but the biggest point here, though, is come across as, hey, if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, great. You don't come across as desperate or needy that you really have to have the money to be able to make things work. That's a great way of going about doing it. And almost with anything, right? If you were to compare to compare that analogy to dating, no one wants to really be around someone who's like, I desperately need you. What am I going to do without you in my life, right? It's better to be with someone that you want to be with instead of actually needing, and come across needy. So that's a big rule to keep in mind with capital raising is, come across as, hey, I want it, I have a goal, I have a plan, I have a vision, here's the value, and it's a great route to go to be able to be effective with this. So one of the first sources that we're going to talk about is just starting within your own sphere of influence, okay? Have you guys thought about, I'll just open it up to a question right now, as far as some of the goals you guys have you guys thought about a specific amount that you would like to raise for your guys' business or businesses? If you do, just holler in and just let me know.
500?
500 cents? $500?
$500.
Okay. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, $500. Okay, cool. What about you, LeBaron? Have you put any thought into that?
Yeah, 10,000.
Okay. Anyone else on the call have any specific amounts that they're looking for?
100.
Okay, 100. Okay. Okay. So whatever the amount may be, yeah, a lot of these amounts fall into the more of the micro loan on up to, I'll share with you, you know, another source here too, but you can definitely secure the funding, okay? But then the steps to follow is, first, I mentioned that best practice of coming across as wanting funds and having a vision and having a plan. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, so detailed that, you know, they'll be usually comprised in a business plan, you know, if you have a business plan to be able to secure funding. But if you're looking for lower amounts, like, you know, 10, 20,000 or so or lower so, and so forth, then it'll tie in really well with some of these sources that we're going to talk about here shortly. But the next step is to look at, well, where can I get the money at? You know, you've got a plan, and you have a reason why you want to go about raising that capital. Like in our situation, the reason why we were raising that $457,000 for one of the businesses in California is they were, you know, running a lending company. And, you know, they needed more capital to be able to lend out. You know, it was a private lending company. And so, you know, we went about working with an attorney to develop what we call a private placement. So a private placement memorandum is called a PPM. You can work with an attorney if you're looking at raising a lot of money, you know, hundreds or if not millions of dollars. And you can do that, you know, by going that route like we did. But, you know, it's a bit more overkill for what we're talking about here with you guys, you know. But we worked with an attorney, and we had all the legal stuff taken care of, and all the filings filed with the state and the government. And then you're legit, you know. Then we were able to go out there and work individually with folks and companies, and letting them know what the plan of action would be to be able to you know, secure the funding and also return it with a profit. And so, if you're to, you know, work with, let's say, you borrowed money from, you know, your grandparents or your friends or your family members, or and we're going to get into partnering and, you know, your business structure. You know, think about, where can you get the money? And these are the major areas that I'll talk about that you can go to. But the bottom line with working with folks is, hey, you know, they want to know how they're going to get their money back with interest, right? Is it going to be secure? How risky is it? You know, if you think about, and we were involved quite a bit also with real estate investing. And, you know, if people were looking for money for, you know, a down payment for the house, or if they're looking for and wanted to buy a home for cash, you know, they would go to, you know, the hard money lenders or, you know, different lending groups to be able to get the money necessary, or banks and so forth. And if you go to the bank, I mean, have you guys, you guys have mortgages?
Yeah.
Or ever had one? You know, it's you jump through a lot of hoops to be able to get that loan, don't you?
Oh, yes.
It's just not a matter of going up to the Zions Bank and knocking on the door and speaking with the teller and, you know, they and giving you $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000, you know. It just doesn't work that way. So the same thing, you know, you turn the table and, you know, ask yourself, well, what are they going to really want most, you know, if they give you the money that you want? Even if it's you know, $10, even if it's $500, or, you know, if it's a lower amount, and depending on who you work with, there's a lot of dependence, you know. But the second step I'm going to share with you in terms of the best practices is trust. Okay, the sooner you can establish trust, okay, with your you know, lender, whoever that may be, the better. So you can establish trust in a lot of ways, can't you? You know, you can. Ranging from your appearances on up to all the details and the background that they don't see that you can share with them, such as your credit and, you know, your relationships with people, your your integrity and your credibility with paying people back, you know. And the more documentation and the more information you have and references that you can share with people, you know, the better. You know, they want to know, hey, have you lent money to anyone else, or have you borrowed money from someone else, I mean, and do you pay them back? Which is another huge, obviously, huge reason or purpose for you know, your credit score. But not all lenders will even require that. You know, there's lenders, there's people out there that will give you money without even having any credit at all. Yeah. And so, with that said, let's jump into some of these major sources here, and we'll talk about each one of them step by step, okay, and how you can use them. But first step is, you know, you could speak with people there locally in your own sphere of influence. Okay, you think about making a list of, you know, friends and family that might be well off and that you would consider speaking with. And this is, you know, by all means not obviously the only thing you do, because we're going to go over a number of them. But it's a great place to start, because you already have some type of trust built up with you know, the folks that you have. And the pros, you know, the pros involved with that is that, once again, the trust is already there to some degree. And second, it's easier to work with them. You know, usually a lot of times they're local, or else you can get in contact with them fairly quickly and you know, get in the door fast, right? And there's a few more, you know, pros to it, but, you know, one of the cons is that, you know, you might not want to borrow money from your, you know, grandma or your neighbor, you know? So, you know, if things go bad, then, you know, you might not want to have that type of issue involved with that relationship. That's very understandable, and that's one of the major reasons why people, you know, don't go the route of getting, you know, money from their friends and family, okay? But a lot of people do. So I wouldn't, you know, suggest at all that you have that fear hold you back, okay? Because a lot of people have raised capital, you know, including myself, and from just starting off with family members, okay? So that's the first source that you can check with. Start with mining the diamonds in your own backyard, as they call it. A lot of people have, you know, that acres of diamonds in their own backyard, and they don't even know it, or even having put the right type of thought into it. So think about that. Make a little list of the folks that you might want to consider speaking with or talking with, and make sure that you have a plan of action in place on how to repay them, and you can consider speaking with an attorney and having an agreement drafted up. And then, you know, both people would be able to sign it, and they'll be able to guide you in that right direction and to be able to do that successfully. Okay. Now, the second source that you can consider is going to, you know, banks. Okay, they have all kinds of, you know, different loans you can consider, but one of the type of loan, one of the types of loans you can consider getting from a bank or a credit union is a SBA loan, a Small Business Administration loan. And, you know, when I met up with a credit union and got an SBA loan, it was for $50,000, and, you know, you have to go through basically the same process that you almost go through, not as stringent as a mortgage, but you still got to jump through quite a bit of hoops, you know, with getting funding from a credit union or a bank and getting an SBA loan, okay? But you can check that out. You can go to SBA, S as in Sam, B as in boy, A as in apple, .gov, and when you go there, you can look at the, you know, requirements they have regarding obtaining funding from them, but it's from the government, and it, you know, they issue that funding through the, you know, the banks and the credit unions and so forth. So you just sit down and speak with one of the, you know, the loan officers there, and they would be able to walk you through the paperwork, and they'll usually, you know, check your credit, and if you have any type of, you know, collateral and so forth, you know, they'll walk you through all that stuff. Okay. It's not always necessary that you have, you know, amazing credit or even collateral, but if you do, then that it'll definitely speed up the whole process and make the obtaining of the funds easier. Now, those are usually, if there's the standard SBA loans, are usually for larger amounts. There's a second tier type of program that you can look at with the SBA department. It's called micro loans. The micro loans are smaller amounts, such as they loan up to $50,000 to help small businesses, and there's stipulations that they have as well. Okay, but the average loan they say is around $13,000. Okay, so with exception of the one fellow there that said $100,000, that that may be a pretty good option to look at. Okay. Okay, now let's look at the third source. Okay, any questions so far before I jump into the third source of raising capital?
Not for me.
Yeah, okay. Okay, the third source I want to share with you is called angel investing. Okay, angel investors. There's all kinds of well-to-do attorneys and doctors and lawyers and small business owners or even big business owners. Okay, the bottom line is there's all kinds of people who have money just burning a hole in their pocket, and they want to be able to put that somewhere to be able to put it to work. Having money sitting in their savings account earning 1 or 2% interest a year is, we actually lose the money on that, right? If you think about the brain lapse there. Anyways.
Inflation.
Inflation, there you go. Thank you. thank you. Yeah, so anyways, with inflation, the average is out to be like 3 or 4% a year. And so anyways, a lot of these folks who are well-to-do, they're definitely looking for places to put their money to work. And they know that if it's just sitting around, it's losing money dramatically. And so inflation is a huge factor in eating into people's money. So the bottom line with this is that if you're going to tap into angel investors, they're looking for great investments, okay? And the greatest investment is you, and that's really what they're investing in, okay? Unless it's going to be like a secured loan, and we'll talk about a secured loan in a minute. But if you have an online business, or if you want to raise money for your book, or your supplies of your website, or your website, or your store, brick and mortar store, okay, the list can go on and on. But you can go to these folks and let them know what the plan is. And this site that I'll share with you, you can go there and look at all the people that are available to do it. This one of the requirements that a lot of this association, the Angel Capital Association, requires that these and the Security Exchange Commission with the government, the federal government here in the United States, they have a requirement that these folks usually are classified as accredited investors. Okay, accredited investors, you can go to the SEC.gov website, and it'll give you a list and just a definition of who an accredited investor is. But usually they have to make at least $200,000 to $300,000 a year or so and have X amount of dollars, at least $1 million or so in assets. And so there's a bunch of different definitions of what that accredited investor is. But the bottom line, though, is with angel investors, they're usually they usually meet that requirement. Okay, they're usually well-to-do. So when you go over to this website here called angelcapitalassociation.org/directory, when you go there, they'll give you a list of the different angel groups. Okay, people, they're just people. Okay, just like you and I, but they're well off, and they are looking for great places to put their cash. And it'll give you a whole list of a bunch of different people and companies that you could consider contacting. And there's a ton of them. Okay, and they'll list them out by location, such as New Hampshire, Indiana, California, every state all across the nation here in the United States. They don't have any on this list anyways. They have actually a few in Canada. Ontario and Quebec City and so forth, but I don't see a boatload of people outside of Canada and America. There are like in New England, but that's usually where they're located. So consider checking that out. Okay, and once you go there, they'll have their own rules and so forth that you can go through and, but the main thing is once you chat with them, they'll let you know what is required, and they just go through the process. And usually it's not as stringent compared to like banks and credit unions. They're a bit more flexible, but it really depends on the person that you're working with. Okay.
Can you repeat the website again, please?
Yes, it's at Angel, A-N-G-E-L, capital, K or C-A-P-I-T-A-L, then association, ASSOCIATION.org. Okay, and then you put a forward slash and then type directory. Okay, directory. D-I-R-E-C-T-O-R-Y. Okay, so once you go there, you'll be able to see that list there. Okay, now with the fourth type, okay, let's talk about the fourth type. There's a lot more information. Like I said, I'm giving you a great overview here today about the major sources of funding that you can go and take advantage of, okay? But the fourth source I want to talk with you about is asset-based loans. Okay, there's all kinds of companies that you can work with out there that, even banks and credit unions and even, title companies and so forth that will look at the collateral that you have. And these people, don't usually look at your credit at all. And some might, but most of them don't. And they simply look at, well, what kind of collateral do you have? You might have a watch or a Rolex or Wave Runners or a child. No, I'm just kidding. You might have some jewelry or tools or whatever the case may be, okay? Something that's tangible that you're willing to put up in exchange for the loan. And once you pay the loan off, then you get that tangible item back, okay? It could be a car, okay? So you look at these companies you can contact and that and they're willing to give you the money in exchange for that, and they'll hold that asset until you pay it back, okay? Now, and depending on the asset and the exchange that they're willing to do on the funding, they usually don't give you 100% of the value of it. Okay? They usually give you like maybe 50% or 60% maybe of the value of that. So if you have a car, let's say that's worth $10,000, they'll usually give you $5,000. Okay? Because if you don't pay it back, then they still can sell it with a profit. All right? So that's pretty simple and pretty simple to understand on that one, right? The next source I'll talk with you and share with you about is the fifth source is called peer-to-peer lending. This is not too common of an approach that most people have heard about, so that's why I bring it up. But it's becoming more and more more and more popular. And I mean, in fact, a lot of people go through these sources now to be able to get funding for their business. And so one of them, I'll share with you three websites that you can go to. One is called prosper.com. The second one is called Cabbage, just like the the vegetable cabbage, but spelt with a K. So K-A-B-B-A-G-E.com. Okay, and then the third site that I'll share with you is lendingclub.com. If you're on the Internet, you can pull those sites up and take a look at them as I talk about them. If not, that's okay. Just refer to them when we're done. But these are sites called peer-to-peer lending. They're in that industry. And when you go to them, you can either lend your money out or you can borrow money. Okay? They offer both opportunities. So when you go to Prosper or Cabbage or Lending Club, you can look at borrowing money from these sources. And so how this works is these companies are the middleman, all right? So you would go to them, and they connect the dots between you and the lender if you're borrowing money, okay? So you simply go through there and let them know how much you're looking for. Like on Lending Club, for example, it tells you they're willing to do personal loans up to $35,000. Okay, And then you simply put the amount in and what it's for, how's your credit, and then you click on check your rate. And then it's not going to impact your credit score at all. And then you'll be able to go through and discover how much you can qualify for in getting, okay? Same thing on Cabbage. You know, you click on just get started. It'll walk you through, tell you how much you qualify for in getting. And same process. Okay, same thing with Prosper. Now, just as a side note, you'll see that area that I mentioned earlier about, you know, lending your own money. You know, let's say you had $10,000 that you wanted to lend out and you wanted to put that money to work. Well, you could go there and offer your money, you know, to other people throughout the world that are looking at consolidating debt or borrowing it for whatever reason, okay, and make an interest rate off of your money. I do the same thing. You know, within the past 12 months, I've earned 18% off my money by putting it in here, and it's actually through a lending club. You can do the same thing through those other sites. Okay, but since we're talking about borrowing money, you can do the exact thing there through those peer-to-peer lending sites. Okay, so peer-to-peer means people-to-people. Okay, people just like you all throughout the world are willing to put up certain amounts of money to have other people like yourself borrow it from them, but through these sites. Okay, does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty easy to go through those sources, okay? And they'll have their own contracts in place that you simply sign, and a lot of the contracts are online, you know, with borrowing money. You know, they'll just once you set up your account, they'll walk you through, and then you'll be able to, you know, fill everything out and sign it online and, you know, print it off and all that jazz, okay? Okay, the sixth source is, you know, you can look at your own funding as well, such as credit cards and so forth. There's a lot of 0% interest rate cards out there, you know, that you can look at, Capital One and Orchard Bank, MNDA, and the list goes on. If you look at, you know, the top credit card companies out there, you can look at borrowing funds from that, and a lot of, you know, folks do that to be able to fund their business. And the biggest downfall with that, though, is the huge interest rates that usually are acquired if you don't pay it back, you know. And so, yeah, once again, you got to kind of weigh and balance, you know, the whole risk involved and what you're looking for, but it's definitely a possibility, okay? Another source that you can look at is your 401k. Okay, the 401k is the retirement fund, you know, that people have, and it's pretty popular. But that's another source you can look at. And they have, you know, rules in place, you know, that you'd want to be aware of, you know, before you can use the funds. You know, they're your own funds, but, you know, since it's a government-ran retirement fund, they have rules that follow, and especially, you know, rules to follow when you withdraw the money. So check with your, a company if you have a 401k, and they'll tell you all the ins and outs about how to borrow that money and what kind of fees might be involved. There may not be, but what kind of fees might be involved with rolling over some or most of the money inside of your 401k to fund your business. Okay? Okay, now the seventh source that we're going to talk about, we'll talk about a bit more in depth, and this is on the topic of having your own LLC. Okay, you can have your own S corp or your C corp, but I'm not going to specifically talk about those types of entities. Okay, we're talking about specifically on the topic of an LLC, a limited liability company, and you'd want to speak with an attorney or a certified professional, you know, to walk you through the ins and outs of, you know, setting up your own LLC in your own state, because they'll know all the tax laws and all the ins and outs of, you know, the legal stuff, okay? But just sharing from my own experience in terms of raising capital using an LLC. An LLC is a type of business entity. And how many of you guys have an LLC or some type of business entity? Do any of you have any entity set up?
I do.
Do you? Okay. Good. Well, you can definitely relate to this then. Okay? And if you, even if you don't, you can look at considering this approach. But, you know, one of the fellows there, what was your name again, if you want to chime in and say your name, that you're looking for $100,000? Is he still there? that would be great. You know, either way, even for smaller amounts, you know, it really doesn't matter. But how you go about doing that is you can invite investors and or partners into your business. Okay, they can either, you know, buy the equity or put up the money to and secure it with a certain asset or assets. But the main thing, though, is you can one approach you can take that would be pretty simple. I'll give you an example. Is if you wanted to raise $100,000 and you brought, you know, say, five partners on, and each of those five partners would bring $20,000 to the table, right? And so each of those you know, partners that you work with would have, they would be equally yoked, you know, meaning that they would be paid out equally all across the board from the profits of the business. You know, because you all contributed the same amount of money, and you're all, you know, working on building up the business. So if you have specific purposes, you know, roles and responsibilities for each person, you know, one might be the CEO, one might be the CFO, the, you know, chief financial officer, or you can come up with your own names and or using the standard names that people have for their you know, business owners. Okay. But the main thing, though, with this is you split up the money, and that's just a simple example of how that could work. You know, five people will come into the business. They each bring $20,000, and you have $100,000 to work with now. Okay, and then from there, in an LLC, you'll have what we call an operating agreement. Okay, an operating agreement can be drafted up by an attorney or a lawyer, and you know, that specializes in you know, business formation. But they can draft one up, and then inside of that operating agreement, the reason why they call it an operating agreement is because it's an agreement with the business folks, you know, that own it, that devotes all the attention, all the ifs, whens, hows, all the buts regarding your business, okay, the operations of it. How does it operate? And so when you guys look at the operating agreement, they'll tell you how things should be conducted and how things should be paid out and when and all that stuff, okay? So inside of that operating agreement would be listed out how people are paid out and all the what-ifs again, okay? The ownership percentages and so on and so forth. Any questions about that one? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the last few ones that I'm going to share with you here is the one that I mentioned earlier fell in line with the approach of raising money privately, okay, compared to publicly. You guys have heard of the you know, the New York Stock Exchange, right? The stock market. Now, there's a stock market in almost every single country all throughout the world, but here in America, you know, the stock market, you could consider, you know, this is pretty robust and it's for, you know, pretty big businesses or even businesses that want to go bigger. But, you know, if you think about Facebook, okay, think about Facebook and they were, you know, they were a private company. And they, you know, you couldn't go to the, you know, the, you know, stock market and invest your money into Facebook, you know. But now you can, because they launched their business and they took it public. And so that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about privately, okay? So when a business is private, that's what it is. It's just privately, you know? It's not to the public. And if you wanted to raise money privately, then you could do that same approach that we did, you know, that I did with my three partners. Is if you wanted $100,000, then you could go to an attorney, have them write up an agreement, and it'll say, this agreement basically allows you to raise up to $100,000. And then once all the legal stuff is taken care of, you take that, it's a pretty big stack of papers, okay? It's like a doomsday scenario of, you know, if they give you their money, then there's basically no promises type of thing. Okay? They're giving you the money, full disclosure, everything is covered in detail in that private placement memorandum. Okay, so it usually consists of, you know, that legal documentation usually consists of about 120 pages. Okay, and so you take that memorandum or that document, and then you give it to people who are interested in giving you money. Okay, and then they would sign it, and then both people would have copies, and then from there, you're able to move forward with taking the money and investing it as agreed. Okay. So with that approach, I would definitely, you know, work with an attorney to make sure everything is taken care of. And it's a bit more expensive and it's a lot more complicated. So it's not usually recommended, especially for, you know, folks who are just getting started, you know, with, you know, a business online or, you know, even a smaller business that they're doing in their own town or whatever. Okay. So just think of if this is more of a bigger capital raising approach. But you definitely want to work with an attorney, have them take care of all the legal stuff, all the paperwork and the filings, and then you'll be taken care of, you know, with all that stuff. Now the second to last source that we're going to talk about is crowdfunding. And crowdfunding is gained a lot of popularity. And I actually mentioned this a couple times ago on another training, but how many have heard of crowdfunding before? Have you heard of that term before?
No.
Yes, I have.
1% has, okay. Okay, so, you know, Kickstarter. Have you heard of Kickstarter? That's one of the pioneers in the whole crowdfunding world. You know, when they started, they started this whole wave of additional followers who have started up their own different crowdfunding sites or websites. But when you go on there, go over to Kickstarter.com. Okay, that's one site that I'll share with you. And there's literally, the last time I checked, I actually compiled a little list of the top, 30 different crowdfunding sites that you can check out. But one of them, like I said, is the pioneer of Kickstarter. They really started the whole movement here of crowdfunding. But when you go there, let's take your example there, LeBaron. Yeah, you have a book that you're pretty excited about. You may have, other projects underway.
Actually, I have my invention on there already. I have it set up and everything.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, awesome. So maybe if you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing the steps that you took about launching your project on Kickstarter?
Yeah, basically, like I said, I kind of found it by accident. I don't know how I found it, but what I did was, researched everything, got all my patent information together, basically everything that I needed to get so the customer would understand what my patent is, what my invention is, and what kind of incentives I would give them once the project is funded. That's really pretty much it. There's like so many steps, like several different steps as far as setting up different things. But those were the main things, like really getting all the information in there. So basically when they go to my site on Kickstarter, they'll be able to, look at it and understand it. And if they want to, fund the project, they will. So.
Yeah. Cool. That's pretty exciting. Yeah, congrats. That's fantastic. And so, just to add to that, you probably have experienced this as well, but just to share with the folks here that are on the call and also those who are listening in the future that some of the pretty exciting things that you can also experience there on the site is that you can put up rewards based upon the donations that people give, and incentivize people to invest even more. So, like, for example, you could if you have a prototype of your product, then you can give a prototype of it to the folks once it's released. And you can have different prizes that lead up to it. You know, so like a shirt giveaway along with tickets to movies, or you know, all kinds of different prizes that you can give away to people based upon the different amounts that they invest. But the biggest thing to really be effective with this is to be creative with your video. You know, put a fantastic video together that gets people's attention and helps them see the whole vision and why, you know, they would want to give money to you. You know, why would they want to see this project or see this product or service or whatever you're promoting? Usually it's for tangible products, but one of the recent ones I saw in here that I learned from one of my coaches is this what was the name of it? Is it cooler, all-in-one cooler? and you can, you know, there's a bottle opener and a little smoothie maker machine built into it, and you know, you can do all kinds of things with this cooler, you know, that you can put your drinks and your stuff inside of there, and you can do all kinds of stuff with it, you know. It's not just your standard Joe Schmo, cooler that you get over at Walmart. It's all built out. It's a cooler on steroids.
So, yeah, I thought it.
You saw that one, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of things you can look at. I mean, if you can get people to really believe in your product and what you have to offer, you can see, wow, this is awesome. I would love to see that come to fruition. Yeah, I want to have that. I want to have your product come to the market. You know, people really want or need to have your product more, and so they, once again, they believe in it, and they are willing to give you that, give you money based upon different increments of funds. And so, there's all kinds of categories inside of these websites. Okay, I mean, there's art, comics, dance, design, and so just click on Discover up at the very top on Kickstarter. And you look at, let's look at, if you think about your website and the whole vision of where you want to go with your website business, you could do the same thing, okay? You know, take some time to explore some of the, creative opportunities that people are presenting on here. And, it's a great source of inspiration. And you can use these ideas to be able to, spark your mind and be able to get some great ideas to come up with things that you could implement in your own gig, But let's take, for example, photography. I'm just going to click on photography and see what kind of projects are in there. Okay, like this one right here. They have Beautiful Destruction, Alberta Oil Tar Sands Photo Book. Okay, they've 126% funded, 18,983 pledged, 63 people or backers, and 40 days to go. So the system, they give you a time frame to raise the capital within, and then you work towards raising the capital. Okay, so that's the gist of this, of crowdfunding. And the other sites I mentioned, I'll just briefly mention a few more that you can look at. But, Catapult is another one. Indiegogo is another one. And Pave, PAVE.com. So with all these sites, so far, and these sources that I've shared with you, there shouldn't be a lack at all. Of being able to obtain funding. There's a lot of sources, right, that we shared with you, that I've shared with you here today, that you can take advantage of. And whether it be $500, $10,000, $100,000, or even millions of dollars, there's people out there that will give you, the money as long as you have, that vision and the plan of making it happen. And if people trust you and also believe in what you have to offer, then there shouldn't be any reason why you can take off dramatically with your business. So I always like to bring things back, pull things back a bit more in terms of the whole reason why you're doing this in the first place. Some people might not want to be multimillionaires. You might want to just have a few hundred thousand dollars a year, and you'll be good. Whatever the case may be, in terms of your financial goals, these are all sources that you can consider checking out. Okay. But I always, coach students and remind ourselves to think about the big reason why you're doing this in the first place, and the motivation, the big reason, that catapults you forward every day, the reason why you do what you do, with going after your dreams. And there's an outcome, greater liberty, greater freedom that you'll enjoy as a result of it. And so if you think about the outcome and the reason why you want to do it and so forth, it'll really keep you going, because there's hoops to jump through no matter what source you go through. Okay? And when we were doing real estate investing, there's a lot of hard money lenders out there. Okay? And what they do is they give you money to buy the house. So you don't have to go to, banks or credit unions to get them. And so they look at, the home, how much it's worth, and that's another way of raising capital. And so if you guys are interested in real estate, that's another way of raising the money that you're looking for to buy the home. And you'll learn more about that in the real estate course that we have. But that's a type of asset-based loan that we talked about earlier, okay? And so the last one I want to talk about here, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, which is the public funding, which is going to the stock market, for example. And there's a lot of work that you got to do to be able to make that happen. So I mean, we're not going to go in depth on that at all here today, but that is a possibility. You may want to take your business and open it up to the public and have your offering exposed to the world, and they could. And buy, X amount of shares in the company, for X amount of dollars, just like with any other stock that people can buy on the stock exchange. And so you definitely want to work with an attorney on that to be able to get all the legal stuff taken care of. Okay, but a lot of companies go that route. It's a huge aspect of scaling your business, because it opens up the doors dramatically, to a huge influx of money coming in. That's one of the major reasons why, people like, companies like Facebook and so forth go public instead of just staying private, as they're able to access more money and they're able to grow dramatically larger. Okay, same reason why Google, is a publicly traded. You could go to the stock exchange and invest X amount of dollars and buy a share of Google. Same thing with Facebook. Yeah, and that's an opportunity that you can look at. And I do know of companies that started off with their businesses online with a website, and they are doing really well. They've decided to take all of these sites, like Google, for example, and Facebook. They're the two biggest websites and businesses online in the world. So, they started off with a website. And you guys are starting off with websites too. So the website is, primarily the facilitator in this whole process, but, it definitely is something to consider, when you look at the long-term goals that you have going on, okay? So let's do a quick recap here. We've talked about some of the major sources, okay? We've talked about primarily... and nine different sources so far, right? So microloans, smaller amounts, average amount of $13,000 that you can obtain from the SBA.gov program. And you can go to banks and credit unions and speak with the loan officers, and they can help you out with that. Now we discussed angel investors, okay, that you can go to. And you can go to that site that I mentioned earlier, the Angel Capital Association, and check out the whole list of investors there and speak with them. Then we talked about asset-based loans and loans that are secured to something tangible, houses, cars, and so forth. And then peer-to-peer lending, Prosper, Cabbage, Lending Club, these are all sites. There's a whole list of them, but those are the top three that are great to check out. Okay. And then your 401k, you think about where you can get it from your retirement fund. You know, you don't want to necessarily use all of it, but some people do. You know, really got you just look at your own goals and what you're particularly looking at, but check out your 401k and look at the rules. And then we discussed raising capital using your LLC. You can do the same thing in an S-Corp or a C-Corporation. But the main thing is you can sell the equity of your business or a certain portion of it to people who come on board. And they'll give you the money that you're looking for. And then you take that from there and start to grow your business. Again, then we finally talked about raising money privately using something that's a bit more complicated, but works out great. Okay, with private placement memorandums, and you can have an attorney draft it up and do all the legal work for you. And then we just recently discussed crowdfunding and then going public. Okay, so there you go. Now, let's open it up to any specific questions that you guys have. Okay, in your own unique circumstances, I'd rather discuss your own unique particulars, the particulars of your situation there, and just customize the questions to you guys, okay, for the last 7 minutes. Sound good? Anyone have any questions?
I don't have any questions. You did a great job.
Well, thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't have any questions either.
Yeah, okay. So just out of curiosity, so do you guys have a plan? It looks like, Linda, you talked about having a goal of $500, right?
Correct.
Okay, and do you have an idea of what you'd want to use it for?
A website that works.
Yeah, okay. You know, one of the other possibilities, since you mentioned that, is you could go over to a site called Flippa, FLIPPA.com. And if you're looking at buying an existing website that is making money, you could just go there and buy a website. It's already up and running. It's already making money. And just buy it. Okay? You don't have to worry about setting it up from scratch, doing all the legwork. It's already been done. And so when you go there, there's all kinds of websites in all different categories. There's a boatload of categories you can choose from. And when you look at it, you can look into the details of the type of business. Like, for example, here, this barteronly.com. They're selling it for $500. And it tells you the details of the business and what kind of past they've had and who's involved and all that stuff. Okay, they're pretty transparent with all that stuff that goes on with who owns it, and so when you buy an existing website, you could go there. And there's a few more sites that you can check out too, but this is one of the most popular ones. So that makes sense? Help out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, LeBaron, you said you're looking at raising $10,000, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And what's the purpose for that?
Basically, to get the invention market in the last stage, got everything patented and everything. So now I'm just trying to get it funded to get it marketed.
Okay. So was this a topic helpful for you guys? Did you guys learn anything new?
I learned a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Good deal. Wonderful to hear. Is there anything that you hope that I would have covered?
I think you covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, okay. All right, guys. Well, I sure appreciate you being on the call here today, and we'll have another one here this next week, 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, same time. This next week, it'll be on a different topic. It's going to be on the topic of a new type of marketing online, on how to tap in, how to get a bunch of different blog owners, okay? Just imagine having, 200 different websites or more out there that are super popular, and having blogs, that talk about you on their websites, okay? This is a blog or platform marketing. We're going to talk about that and how to go about doing that successfully, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Have a wonderful day there, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay.
Hi.